is. I was so blessed by the words that also came out, and I think it was on Thursday evening that Tani Rihanna at intercession said that almal wil net baie keer raak gesien word. And it just so rang out in my heart. In other words, everybody just now and again wants to be seen. And this morning in worship, as you heard, it was just God tugging on my heart again. There's just this supernatural thing built in us all that has this yearning to be seen by our Father, to be seen by our parents. Natural parents, many a times. Even Jesus himself, after he was baptized, God came and he spoke. He saw, he spoke, and in that moment just affirmed him and affirmed identity. And I really want to encourage you, just in this place of mere brokenness, if you've never had that moment, or those moments of affirmation in your life, to say, God, come and speak through somebody. Speak to me in a dream. Just come. Because it's as if something clicks in our hearts and in our lives. And identity just falls into place. And I believe you'll truly, quickly, very quickly see the fruit of that. So this morning, by all means, please tackle me afterwards. Let's pray through these things. Let's trust the Lord to finish what he started and what he's doing at the moment. Francisco, you can pop on that first part of the slides for me if you don't mind. Thank you so much. This is the time of the year, and with half of the church camping, the other guys that are here, you guys can quickly run through this with me. But before I start with the sermon, just give me 2 minutes. I think in charismatic churches, we like to throw vision around, and we like to use nice catchphrases, and we actually like to prophesy as well, and we like to bring words, and I love those things. But I also believe there's a part of accountability to that. There's a place where we need to think, what was the stuff that we were going on about at the beginning of the year? What was that thing that Retief constantly was prophesying over the church? Did it actually happen? Was there ever such a thing that occurred? And please don't be too hard on me, but there's a place of accountability when it comes to vision. We can have awesome vision, but if this year didn't work out, next year we just get more awesome vision. By the way, we got the awesome vision this week. We had a great time at my house almost all day. We just spent before the Lord, and we had a lot of chatter and a bit of food, like Christians do. And then we just spent a bit of time together just in worship, just trusting God, just to speak. And he very simply, very clearly, just gave us a couple of visions, which I believe he's saying to us as a church prophetically for next year. But before we run off and head with the boat's nose in that direction, following the Lord, we need to sometimes just stop and think where we're at. Now, I've used this joke before, but it stays detrimental to me to this day. I still get lost in Canal Walk, or Century City, Canal Walk, yeah. I still get lost there. So I love these boards that you run up to. Some of them are electronic, or at least somebody that looks like a security guard. I might have offended a couple of people before. Just saying, where am I? Where am I in Canal Walk? Because I get lost. I don't mind shopping that much, but I don't like getting lost. And this time of year, you'll probably look through your budget. You'll know exactly where your assets are, or your liabilities for some of us. You'll know how many kids you have. If you've got a farm, you know if it was a good harvest or a bad harvest. If you've got a business, your books would have been audited some other time, and you know, was this a good year or not? Did I connect? Did I hit my targets? Yes or no? So we'll do a lot of these stuff in our lives as Western people, yet do we actually do this spiritually? And just a little asterisk there. I'm not saying that you'll know exactly, precisely, pinpoint where you are spiritually, because you're not God in itself. But what I do see, unfortunately, is sometimes you get a Christian where I've seen them 3 years ago. Today, it is as if they're spiritually at exactly the same space. The stuff they might have struggled with 10 or 13 years ago is still the same thing. And so the enemy can come sometimes. If we don't do these exercises, he can lure a church in there. He can lure a couple in there. He can lure an individual to a place where you just go around the mountain. And you know your business is growing, you're getting more kids, that's pretty evident. You've got a more better car. So things are happening, yet spiritually you might be in exactly the same space as 13 years back. And ironically, if there's no growth, I believe it's actually, what's the opposite of growth again? Stagnation, but even more than stagnation, death, as Pietri said. So that's why we're doing this. We're just saying, hey, what did we say is this year all about? What did God say? And then we take it from there. So in this week, I heard a nice quote from a guy on one of the radios, Christian radio stations. He said that if you've a man without any hope is also a man without faith. And a man without faith is a man without a future. And a man without a future will always return to the past. And so my encouragement is not to say, hey, let's try to be all hypocritical, let's try to be all religious. It's not a, did I get it right, didn't I get it right? But let's just before the Lord say, Lord, what's happened this year in my spiritual life? And has there in fact happened anything? Some of us have gone through challenging times. Pruning is not nice. You don't have much to show for pruning, but you've got a hope for a harvest that would come in the future. So I know there was a season of pruning for a lot of people. And for some people quite hard. But as a pastor, I can earnestly say I'm looking forward to the buds coming again. For the little fruit being formed again on your trees. And so it's just to encourage you guys to have hope. You can go to the next slide, please, Francisco. The first Sunday of this year, we said that as Shofar, as a bigger church, we're about 30, 40 churches in South Africa, a couple in Namibia, and then one in Holland, and two or so in England, just if you don't know. We had our vision for the year for Shofar with God's building. Now, that's quite wide, and I'm not going to go into that. But we need to just quickly stop and look and say, what did we say it is? In Habakkuk it says, and the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. And that's what we're doing today. This is firstly checking, God gave us this vision for Shofar globally and then for us as a congregation. What did we do with it? What did we do with it? Let's make it plain and simple. I said that God's building for us, we seek the Lord about it. It's not about this place, definitely. It's not about having a church. It's not about a building. It's just saying, more of a verb, God is constantly busy. He is the master builder and he's constantly busy. Next slide, please, Francisco. I said to me, that's the way I could understand God building. God is building either firstly in me, body, soul, and spirit. In whose body, soul, and spirit did God do some alterations in building this year? Who of you? Great stuff. That's good. It's a good exercise. And then he's not only busy there alone. He's busy in my family. He's been working on covenant communication in our family. He's been working on a lot of stuff that we are working through. Then in your church community, your church and community, God is also building. In whose lives did God do something in his church and community this year? The three of us, great stuff. But the other ones, let's do something next year. Obviously, God has been doing a lot. But it's good to see, after a year, well, wow, if I actually think about it, that relationship didn't work a year ago or so. And now it's really God has come to restore. Look at those awesome people God has added to this small group. Look at those small group leaders that are out of a bad patch and they're running again on fire. Whatever the case may be, God has been. And then lastly, the nations. We've been called to the nations as well. Yes, Omyan, let's first go over the street before we go over the waters. We know that's why we do it in that manner. But what is God doing? What is he stirring in your heart for the nations? By the way, the nations are all here. If you look around, the nations are all gathered here in this church. So God is also just doing that cosmopolitan work in and amongst us. Psalm 127 says, and this I like, and this was a cornerstone for me at the beginning of the year, and this was my third slide at the first sermon of this year. So, unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor over it in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman stays alert in vain. Please don't lose me. All that you need to remember is this. Whatever we're busy with, thank you for that vision, Rinda. Whatever we're busy with, are we doing it with God? Because if I'm
plugged into His plans, if I'm doing whatever I'm doing, if I'm building church, or I'm building family, I'm building business, I'm running, I'm counseling, I'm ministering, I'm doing deliverance, whatever I'm doing, am I doing it with God? Am I knowing that there's a symbiosis, there's a sync here, a godly one, because only then it'll have eternal value. And what God has placed through His seed in your life, you know will accomplish what it was set out to do. Who's had plans fail this year? Was it God's plans? Probably not. Well, Mihan, it wasn't God's plans. Let me help you. No, I'm just joking, but you understand where I'm going. So God's building, we said, and then for us as a church, we had to break it down even further. And my fourth slide was the following verse, and you'll probably know it by now. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. That was the verse that God laid in my heart. So God's building for Shofar, and then I had this verse. Johan also quoted that verse this morning. Petri came afterwards and said, this seek first thing really witnesses in my spirit. So we knew, okay, here's another puzzle piece to what God wants to do in 2016. Does it make sense, guys? We're not going to do this for too long. Don't worry. I'm not going to do the scientific thing. It's just saying that we need to be accountable for what we believe God prophetically says. That's all I'm saying. And now we can look back and say, hey, who's ever heard the thing seek first this year? Please, guys, all of your hands are necessary for good accountability and that I can feel better that I've done my job. No, I'm just joking. But obviously, we've thrown that around. Who's grown in the heart of seeking God first? But who's grown in seeking God first this year? Who's grown in that? And really, this is not something that I'm going to tick off, take a photo of you guys, put it on Facebook and feel better. No, it's just saying, Lord, yes, we acknowledge that You speak to us. We are thankful, but we're also going to be good stewards of it and align ourselves with it. And so I've definitely grown in it, but I'm still challenged. And so that's more or less what God says. So if you're a new visitor or you've not been here all year, that's what we've been doing. And for next year, we'll probably do the same. God will keep on building. We'll keep on seeking first, but God will just add another puzzle piece to say, hey, here's a part of me that I want you guys, your group, your family to grow in. And then not just let it fall by the wayside and in 3 years' time, well, you remember that crazy thing we did one Sunday and then we forgot about it. Because I believe then we sometimes miss out on what God's got planned for us. So we've been doing the Seek First series. And today is number 9, part 9 in the Seek First series, and it's also the last part. Let me quickly run through them. You can go to the next slide. There's the first 8. We spoke about wisdom, the kingdom. What exactly is the kingdom? It's not a geographical place. We can get to that just now again. King and kingdom. Who's the king of this kingdom we're seeking? Because we can sound all Christian, but if it doesn't make sense on a Monday, if it doesn't change my life on a Tuesday, if my neighbor never knows about it on a Wednesday, then what am I doing? Then we came here to tickle each other's ears. We feel better. We go on with the typical life. This is not condemnation either. It's just saying, hey guys, we know what's going on in your finances. You know what's going on in your home. You even know exactly what's going on in your garden, your family life, your children's schooling, their futures, etc. But let's also just note what is going on in and around our families spiritually. Fresh bread. The Holy Spirit, Chris, shared on a thankful heart. I shared on, and then last week, Johan brilliantly shared on the Good Shepherd. When we have a seek first heart and we unpacking a seek first attitude, who do we follow? We follow the Good Shepherd. Who follows that Good Shepherd? Who of you guys can say, I'm following the Good Shepherd? For who is it always easy to follow the Good Shepherd? Not necessarily. It doesn't always look the path like we fathom. Now today, the final key, number 9, it's going to be hopefully very short, but very simple. It's childlikeness or childlike. I believe that's the 9th key and final key from our side. Just concerning an attitude, a lifestyle of seeking the kingdom first. is to be childlike.
Who feels like being childlike this morning? So can I call you up for some weird tricks and stuff? No, I don't have anything up my sleeve, but I'm going to do it next time because it would have been cool. But we can even throw these terms around. We can throw these like a big vision, like a vision for the year, like this challenges. We can throw these things around, but if it doesn't change my life, that's why I like somebody like Joyce Myers. It always challenges me, but it's something applicable that can change your life. And again today, I'm just going to take a key, we're going to break down a key, but you need to decide what are you going to do with it. By the grace of God and His mercy and His Holy Spirit, you need to decide what are you going to do with this to have a seek first mentality in your life. I haven't prayed yet, so let's pray after we've discussed the vision. Lord, thank You that You give us the plan. You give us vision. You don't give us all the details in one download. Because I believe Your word says it's the glory of God to hide a matter. It's the honor of a king to search it out. And here's a bunch of kings and queens sitting here. And You didn't create us. You didn't create this space so that we can have a massive plan, that we follow suit, that we do as You do with a good recipe and then go home. No, You have designed it in such an amazing way, and we thank You for that by giving us a vision, giving us something that tugs on our hearts, and from that You flesh it out through relationship, firstly with You, secondly with Your Spirit and Word, and then also with fellow saints and with the people around us. We thank You for Your awesome plan. And thank You, Lord, for the liberty this morning to come to You as sons and daughters as well. And I pray we might say, yeah, I'm a child of God, and we can sing, I'm no longer afraid, and we can do all of that stuff. But if that's not the truth we're living on a Tuesday, please come and save us afresh. Come and render our hearts afresh so that we can truly live as sons and daughters of God behind closed doors, not at church, not at small group, but on the road at the end of the month, just before December, whenever it is, Lord, come and give us that liberty through Your grace. And wherever we're holding something, wherever we're layering ourselves with busyness and stuff that You never gave us, help us to throw that off today in Jesus' name. Open up our eyes to see. It's just by Your grace, not my preaching. It's by Your grace, by Your word, that our eyes can see. Help our eyes to see in Jesus' name. Amen. So the essence of the kingdom living, and the essence of kingdom living, I believe, and the major key to kingdom living is childlikeness. Who learns a lot from children? I learn so much from my children. Man, and I envy them. And sometimes they lure me out of my adultness with their childlikeness. Or sometimes my hurt just overbears and quenches the moment, unfortunately. But I'm going to trust God that does not happen too often. Now, usually my messages gets born out of some prophetic rhema moment that I have with the Lord. I don't like to just go and get something that I've preached before or just do something for due sake. I really trust God for fresh manna. So this one comes out of just one of my humble moments with the Lord. I was between meetings, or Edna just wanted something specific from, it was Woolworths, I think. And I just ran in there this week. And as I ran past a certain section of the men's clothing, there's something I really wanted for this holiday. But it wasn't a major, so I ran past and I see, oh, that's quite a cool one. And it's on some sort of sale, in which they probably trick you. But some sale, and I'm like looking at it and I'm thinking, man, I really don't have the finances for that. And I just ignore it and I walk on. But as I walk, I take my trolley, and as I walk, it wasn't three steps further, I just clearly felt God rain my heart, you didn't ask me. And so now you know God's voice. It's not like, aandag asseblief almal in Woolies, God wil vir 'n TV sê. No, it's not like that. It's just this, is it a thought, is it a feeling, is it the spirit? Now, I'm like, or is it your flesh that wants the thing? So now it's this contradicting moments. But with time spent with the Lord, I know the conviction. And I realize, I didn't ask Him.
I made my own decision based upon my own set of facts. And please hear my heart. If you listen to the message now, or if you're listening to it on another day, I'm not saying let's be stupid, naive, or childish, or fleshly. I'm not saying all of those things. I'm just pointing to a way of relationship with the Lord that is important. And I know Pietri is in the crowd, and he's got a great budget. So I respect those things as well. So that was my first thought, but this was my conviction. And it's out of that place of conviction that I testify and that I also need to live, because that's where my faith is. And so I walk on, and I clearly feel God just drops in my heart, you did not ask me. And so now I'm confronted. Now, what do I do now? What do I do with this, Lord? Now, firstly, I do what I need to do. I get Edna's stuff. I don't buy the thing. I go home, because now I've got a situation. I've got a situation with the Lord. I, just in my own opinion and estimation, looking to my own budget, have made a certain decision. God convicted me in that moment. And so then I go sit at the Lord's feet. I said to Edna, I need to go pray, which I usually do when I have these moments. And then I just say, Lord, okay, speak to me. I don't want the clothing item as much as I want the principle. I want to catch what you're doing. I want to see where my heart is lacking. Where's my decision-making lacking? Not where's my money lacking? Am I going to look good in that or whatever? Is it going to be comfortable to go on holiday with? Not all of those stuff. What are you trying to teach me? Guys, God uses money and material stuff not to bless us. It's not all about being blessed. It's about teaching, and many a times just showing us what is going on in our hearts. And so I just sit before the Lord and I just wait. Because now it's just these conflicting things. It's money, it's this, it's all the other voices needs to quiet down. And so I become quiet before the Lord. And he just speaks to me. I'm not going to say what he said, but the verse that just came up is, no one can be a slave of two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot be slaves of God and mammon. Now it's a bit of a hectic verse that, but it just spoke to my heart. What is your God? Just simply put, what is your God? What is a God? I just believe it's the one you worship or the one you listen to. Your God is the one you listen to. If golf determines your social life, if golf determines your schedule, your agenda, then golf is your God. If my money determines my family life, my social life, what I have in my bank determines my future, then guess what? And I say this in love. If what goes on in my bank account determines my future, then my bank account is my God. When Ryan said last week, good shepherd. But a shepherd calls you to what? To run after you? No. A shepherd calls you, and if you follow your shepherd. And likewise, in that moment, it's a very simple testimony, but in that moment, I was just convicted, who do I listen to? There's nothing wrong with looking to a budget. It's a personal conviction. I say this again. It's something God is putting his finger on in my life, not in your life. So please, if you go to Woolworths this afternoon, please don't have a nervous breakdown or think you're lost or that I'm religious. No, this is a personal thing. God works in personal relationship. But maybe this personal testimony means something in your life, because there might be another area where you're following or maybe listening to another God that is not God's voice. You hear my heart? Your God is the one that you follow. If fear of man, or be it in church or in your community or work, if fear of man, what will other people think of me? What will other people say? If that is constantly ministering to you and hence you're making decisions around that, then guess who's your God? Fear ministering to you in the form of the fear of man. It's not to be harsh. It's just to say, hey, let's take stock. Let's trust God. Anyway, we're talking about childlikeness. So that's where this message was born again. God is, through the time in Malmesbury, 5 years, you know the story by now, of which the majority of that time we didn't have a proper income. Through that time, God taught us a couple of big financial lessons in the way in which we need to follow Him and follow Him. We've been in Malmesbury, and on a Saturday afternoon or Saturday morning, God would tell us, oh, we'd like to maybe go to town, go to like Durbanville or Cape Town, just for the day, just to Go do something as a family because we've been stuck in the home. And I realize we don't have money. And God will say to me, go shopping. And I'm like, we don't have any money. And God say, are you going to listen to your bank account or are you going to listen to me? And so that was just the way in which God trained us. So in that moment in Woolworths this week, it was just a conviction. Who are you now listening to? Moving on. Childlikeness is for me probably one of the most important keys for entering and receiving the kingdom. The kingdom of God, by the way, we said, is the place where the will of the king is done. God's kingdom here on earth is not a physical place. It's not Stanford and it's not Hermanus. We've dealt with that. It's not Sunningdale either, and it's unfortunately not Melbourne. Sorry, guys. God's kingdom is a spiritual place. It is a place where He's king and where He reigns in a moment. Now, this morning in worship, I'm sure that God's kingdom came. In a moment where somebody gives you a prophetic word, say, God sees you. This is who He called you to be. In that moment where God's will is done in your life, the kingdom comes. Does the kingdom come permanently in our lives? No, not at all. So we need to know that it is a spiritual reality here on earth. 1 Corinthians 15, we said way back, I tell you this, brothers, Jesus at word, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. So we're talking about seeking this kingdom that is spiritual, but we clearly see when it manifests here on earth. We see healing, we see deliverance, we see people made whole, we see good news being shared with people, we see eyes being opened, families, marriages being restored. That's where the kingdom comes. Back to childlikeness. Let's look at a couple of definitions. You can go. Childlike is the following: resembling, suggesting, or appropriate to a child or childhood, especially marked by innocence, trust, and I like that last part, childlike delight. And then the Bible Gateway definition I really like: an attitude of simple trust and faith. So childlikeness is the following for me in the biblical definition. It's an attitude of simple trust and faith. Who likes the sound of that? Who can easily live that? It's not that easy. It's that three steps in Woolworths. It's the moment where you realize it's two contradicting kingdoms and who's going to be God? Mine is just a monetary example, but it can be in many, many, many areas of your life. Who's going to be the good shepherd and who's going to be the sheep? Who's going to be the father and who's going to be the child? An attitude of simple trust and faith to be distinguished from childishness. It is commended by Scripture as an appropriate attitude for the believer to take towards God. It's actually two bigger words for the concept, but that's what childlike and childlikeness is. God treats His people like His children. Who of you is a child of God? Who of you live like a child of God? That's where the cookie crumbles. That's what iteki die teerslaan, as I say in Afrikaans. And that's not a place where we get all condemned. That's a place where we say, Lord, amen. More liberty, please, Lord. By Your Spirit. Not by me striving, not by me going and buying the whole of Woolworths or whatever the case would be for you. No, it's a place of where God grows us in relationship and trusting Him. Now, the two issues this morning, we're not going to deal with them in depth, but just be aware of these two issues. Childlike or childlikeness is not childishness. Okay? So please, this is not the liberty to be childish, because then I need to do pastoral care that is unnecessary because of a sermon or something that I did not say. So it's to be childlike. To have an attitude of simple trust and faith in God. To know that the buck does not stop with me. It stops with my Father, and He's God the Father. And childishness is to be silly, immature, and not obedient. So just remember this. Childishness is to be silly, immature, and not obedient. And that's not what we're dealing with. And then the second thing of talking about childlikeness or childlike that I realized might be a problem is I might have a picture of a child in my mind. I might think 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 4-year-old boy living with a mother and father in a house, mom and dad works. I have a picture of a standard child or a general picture of a child. But we live in Africa, we live in South Africa. And there's some stuff that children at the age of 3 go through, experience, and see that is like hell. And I don't know if maybe any of you guys or anybody ever listening to the sermon might have had that. So please hear my heart, I respect that. When we speak about childlikeness, it's not the one that needs to be a parent of 6 and they're only 6. It's not that one that was raped and hurt and molested before they even could remember. And I say that as bluntly because I realize that is something we face in our country and in the world, and that sucks. And you know what? The irony of this is exactly that. Is that the enemy tried to steal as early as possible, give him no credit because of this key, because of this freedom, because of this grace, and because of what we've actually called to be living. So those two things, let's be aware it's not childishness, and let's take cognizance of the fact that there's children that get so hurt even before they start remembering, and we respect that. We're not going to stay in that place either, because there's redemption and healing, full redemption, full healing for a child if that is the case. So whatever your child picture is, we've done this with fathering and sonship before, early in the year with the Faith series, but whatever your child picture is, even that, just say, Lord, I want the one that's biblical, the one that's healed and whole. Because out of that, obviously, the full revelation can come. Let's go to Scripture. The stuff that builds us and also unlocks the door for us this morning for childlike heart. You all know the Scripture by heart. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" What do we do in the world? We just constantly look around. What is the greatest? What is the best? At this stage, we can wholeheartedly say it is not the Springboks. It's definitely not the Springboks. But we do that. What's the best place to eat? What's the best place to buy? What's the best place to go? What's the best place to stay away from? Who's the greatest and who's the best? So they were just actually asking this about the kingdom of heaven, making no mistake in their own right minds whatsoever. Jesus obviously put them into their place. And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And let me just stop there and just say, firstly, thank you, Bianca, for your obedience. And thank you, God, for speaking through your saints. Because I believe her vision was also, and the word she shared was prophetically also so accurate, maybe for her own life, firstly, as she shared, but also for us and for the ones that we can share this with. Truly I say to you, unless you, what did she do here earlier? Turn. Unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And it's just so beautiful. I hope you connect the dots. It's not too difficult. The context here is that it's speaking about greatness. What in this world is great for you? Come, be honest. We're all on the honesty train here this morning. Let's be honest. What is great for you? What makes you step back and think like, wow? Don't be spiritual now. Good coffee, yes. The best coffee, yes. Nescafe Gold, huh? Not quite. Not quite. People who are sorted out. That's very honest. What's really great for you? A nice car is quite... I don't necessarily... I've gone past the thing that I need to have it, but a very nice car, a Bucky, is not too bad for me. Children, awesome. The number of them or the... Because I want to say, you're doing great. Travel. Oh, to travel. That is a... That's a good... That's something great in worldly terms. Anything else, guys? What really is great? Those dishes you watch on what's those show with you? On MasterChef. Those things are great. Great chefs. You know, she gobbles those things down. Vanity Book Event. Yeah. It was actually before your time, but yeah, I can think. Your father did a good job of telling you about it. Yes, that's right. I'm just joking. Lord, bless the box. They're actually in a good space because God is near to the broken heart and the humble. So, no, that's the only way I can breathe after a game, is to know that they're going to get something eternal out of this. Anyway, going back, what is great for you? Philip, a mooi fiets. A mooi fiets. Blomme, yes, nice flower. Happy children, yes. Lots of money, is that great for anybody? Not for you. They're talking about greatness, and they've got this thing, this shoulder rubbing thing. Who's the greatest, and how do you become great? And our flesh so eagerly falls for those things to be great. As I said before, I didn't think... Yeah, let me not talk about that. Let me skip that. So they're talking about greatness. That's the context. But Jesus comes. He calls forth a child, not only a childlike, a real child, and says that you're talking about greatness and the things that you think that you ought to attain that are great and that are amazing in this world or amazing even in the kingdom. Yet I tell you to turn. In other words, turn around, think differently, even repent about the way in which you look at these things. There was a time I was a lawyer. I'm going to mention it for this particular reason, because it was tough for my flesh and my ego. So I was a lawyer, asked by the guy that I worked with if I want to become a director of his firm. It was just before I turned 30, and so I knew God was moving us out to Malmesbury. He said no, moved to Malmesbury, and then the first job I got in ministry was as, and Peter Ben knows this, was technically they called me a pastor assistant or a ministry assistant, but that was not true. I was just the secretary. And there's nothing wrong with being a church secretary. Hear my heart. It was just not what I had planned at the age of 30 to be the secretary at the church office in Malmesbury. That was not according to the plans. And so my idea of greatness had to be redefined very quickly, along with my attitude and my heart. Because I was thinking, yes, the sky's the limit. I'm going to do all of these things. And God says, but I've got a different route for you to follow there. And in fact, the things that you thought were great are not that great. Here we go. And so it was a great challenge, and I had to have a turning moment. You can see there, converted is the word used in the King James. It's to twist, that is, to turn, quiet around, or reverse. How cool is that, which Bianca shared? Convert, turn, to go back, or in other words, just to repent and go in the other direction. Do you have a childlike heart, and what do you learn from children? I'm going to open up. There's 8 things I'm going to share, but let's quickly hear from you guys. Put your adultness aside. What do you learn from children? What epitomizes a child to you? Well, you guys have a lot of answers. They forgive quickly. That's very true. Did everybody hear that? Children forgive quickly. Remember, when we're childlike, we're going to turn, we're going to be converted. They forgive quickly. They're trustful. They do trust and they're trustful. Bianca. They're free. Now, they actually cost a lot of money, but you don't have children yet. But no, they're free. You're right. Another free, not free. They are free. You're right. Anything else? Sorry? Honesty. Yes. Greta, that's very honest. They're sometimes too honest. Sorry? Unconditional love. Yeah, Etienne, this war. Unconditional love. Verwondering. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They're awestruck. Hulle verwonder so maklik. They're inquisitive. Hoekom? 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 Yeah, they're quite inquisitive as well. I think I'm like that with God. Wanneer? 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 I'll wait a minute. Yeah, anyway. Anything else? What do you learn from children? Courageous. Yeah, they are quite courageous. They're more brave than we think. They're impatient. Sorry, they're impatient sometimes, but in the good sense of the word.
we won't tell them where you are now. They seek their parents and the attention of their parents constantly. And you know what? We laugh and we have a giggle about it, but I believe that's exactly the point God was maybe bringing across this morning. We become sometimes as adults become a bit hard-hearted, and we think, but there's something in you that actually seeks God's attention constantly and always. Something that if it is not touched, if it is not met, leaves you half alive, if at all. And so I believe that is so beautiful. And as parents, we think we have to cope. We don't have time. You've got all these layers, as Rinda said. Or you harden your heart. But that's exactly it. We actually still have that as adults. Anything else? Any last thoughts that we learned from children? Trusting. They love sharing. Yeah, they share much more than we do probably. Yes. That's something. Yes, Jane. Amen. They rely on their parents totally. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, if we throw these ideas around and you take where you're currently at and you know that God is your Father, then soon you realize, if I need to take stock without being hard on myself, because then it's a bit of an ironic exercise, then you realize, Lord, I've got so much space and place to grow in freedom. I said, yeah, let's learn from our kids. Luke 10:21 says, in the same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, Jesus at word, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. It's such an upside down kingdom. It's not to the wise and understanding of this age and this world that he granted. It makes it all, and I'm the guy with the mic, so you can just realize where I'm in this equation. To the simple, to the infants, he's granted his grace. If you want the best revelations of God and through his word and his spirit, just become small. Just become humble before him. Just become a boy. God's given me this vision when I just got saved and I realized, man, I want to go into ministry. I realized, it just shows me this diagram type of vision where as I'm going to grow in him, as I'm going to grow in ministry or whatever, I'm going to become smaller. So I'm just trusting him for that. That, as Paul said, more of you, less of me. And it's not some cliche that we can just throw around in Christian circles. It's literally to know that as you want to grow me in esteem and power and whatever the world will call it, you need to become smaller. Jesus himself came what? He could have been the best ruler, the longest standing president ever. He could have done a lot of stuff, yet he came on a donkey, he went down, and he washed the feet of a couple of fishermen. It's an upside down kingdom. We're quickly going to run through 8 things that we can learn from children to have childlike hearts. First one is humility. But Jesus, knowing the reason of their hearts, took a child and put him, this is just another gospel, put him in by his side and said to them, whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you all is the one who is great. Man, if that so was the attitude of all of God's children, all of God's people, I believe we truly would have been more light and salt, and the work would have been much less. Psalm 103:13, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. I think with humility and childlike humility, child is humble because they realize their need. Children are humble because they realize their need. They need you for survival, they need you for food, they need you for shelter, protection, comfort, love, everything. But somewhere along the line, we get fed this lie that it changes. Guess what? It doesn't change. Even if I had a bank full of money in my testimony moment, which by the way, it was a luxury item, that's why I had this mission. It's not about finances, hear my heart. But in that moment, I've realized I've become an adult now.
and I need to do all of these things. It's a very small token of a much bigger heart condition. But in that moment, you realize, well, the humility has maybe gone out of my heart to think that, God, I am needing of you, and I need of you for all in my life. Not if I've got enough savings, or if I've got enough property, or if my estate is quite well put together. No, I always need you for all things. And our children has those humble moments. In humility, children has no fear of man. They can enjoy themselves. They get to church. We get to church and say, hi, how are you? We try not to be too religious. So, hi, broer, ganet. And we just, like, now and again, we'll have a high five from Albert. So it's kind of out of the box. What do the kids do? They kick the ball all over. I saw the little girls. We went to see them. They ran down there. They don't care about their hair. They don't care about what they're wearing. They don't even care how athletic they look in running down the squad yard and up again, maybe falling over, having a tantrum, having snot and thrown at the hole. They don't care. Yet some other time we get to church in a different way. No pride and no shame to hide. Maybe when you become an adult, you realize that, man, I'm not that perfect. And in fact, in the process of sanctification, you see you're really not perfect. And then with that comes a bit of shame, and now you try to cover it with facades. You know, I try to look cool and be all cool and stuff. And God says, no, take that away, man. You all need me. We're all broken vessels that need him. So humility we can learn from kids. Second one is complete dependence. We said that earlier. Galatians 4:4, when the time came to completion, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so that they might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So now you can be 80 years old. You receive the spirit, the baptism of the spirit for the first time. Your heart, your spirit cries, Abba, Father. For me, it sounds like a baby crying. It's not a CEO of his mid-40s driving a big car saying, good day, God. No, it's a baby saying, I'm a father, crying out. By the way, the CEO can have that moment. It's just a matter of dependence upon the Lord. I think of my children, they deserve things or they get things, undeservedly so, because they are my children. We don't go to the Spur and then they offer to wash dishes to have a plate of chips. We don't go to Toys R Us and they offer to wash the floors before they can buy Lego. No, they just come to me. They just say, Lego, please. And if they don't say, please, we have a moment. They don't always get it. They get a bit of vitamin no now and again. They need it. But they just come to me. It's not a transaction. It's not a matter of saying I will walk the dog or pick up its poop or wash the car. No, none whatsoever. It's just coming to me in complete dependence. Can I, may I, please? That's it. And likewise, we can learn from them. Not saying, Lord, I've been a follower of Christ for 20 years. Can I now please have the following? No. It is a matter of being family, not a matter of what we've done. We can learn trust from kids. Childlike trust. We said that. I love this scripture, and it was one of the things that convicted me in this week. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. That is a powerful sentence. Can we still live it? Can we, by the grace of God, live that sentence? We can say yes and amen, and we can stand up and not do it, but may it speak to us. May it just knock on our hearts. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, not in some, not in a couple, not in the major things, not if you have to move or not move. I believe in, this is, we might lose each other, but I believe in all your ways. That's literally all your ways. Not to be robotic about it, not, but to be relational about it. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. and turn away from evil, it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Got a little time, so let's move on. Children are obedient, and we can learn obedience from them. 1 Peter 1:14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. As obedient children. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your own conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Are children holy? I believe they are. If you look at the definition of holy, holiness is set apart. To be set apart for, to be holy unto. In other words, on Sunday mornings, thank you by God's grace, Emmy is holy unto the work and the leading of set up in church. It is holy, consecrated way of living. My children are holy unto me because they need me for all things. Subject, obviously, to God's provision in my own life. And they're holy unto me and to whomever I give authority. I give their teachers authority to say, hey, you can organize them while they're at school, but when they get into the car, they're holy unto me. The wrath of Retief. It sometimes do happen, but not that bad. So, in other words, let's be holy unto Him. Not holy unto the stuff that covers our lives. Holy unto your business. Holy unto money. Holy unto your stokperkies. Holy unto what the culture is doing. No, holy unto God. Fifth thing is they're innocent. I just love the innocence of children. Now here, sometimes you can't even help what happens to you, but God can restore that innocence. You restore my youth like that of an eagle. Mark 10:13 says, and I'm going to skip verse 14, but when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. That enter, by the way, is not once off. Yes, it's with salvation you enter, you become part of the kingdom. But I believe in this life, you can skip from one kingdom to the another. To another, albeit if you operate in the flesh or you operate in the spirit, albeit if you walk in obedience or not. But that's a teaching for another day. Three more to go. We're almost there. I'm not going to read all of it. I said the sixth thing is relationship. We learn a lot from kids through relationship. They operate through relationship. They're children by blood, not by performance. I mentioned a couple of examples, but look at your children. They're not your children by performance. They're your children by being your children. If they want a breaky, if they want to go to school, cool drink, whatever, it's by relationship. Second last one, they're imitators. Ephesians 5:1 says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Imitate Christ. They imitate us. And by the way, children don't do what you say, they do what you do. So who do we need to imitate then? Imitate our culture? I'm not saying all culture is bad, hear my heart. But where culture and the Word of God and the Spirit of God conflicts, where culture and love of God conflicts, guess who needs to bow the knee? It's plain and simple. Be imitators. No, but be your own man. Stand up, man. Be your own man. Go be a conqueror. No, I'm just an imitator. I can tell you about my life trying to be my own man. I was a sheepish little broken boy. That was what I was. I ended up in the pigsty. Totally broken, lost, like you cannot believe. I will imitate, thank you very much. It is a place of safety. It is a place of love. It's a place of love. And life. I'll much rather be an imitator of Christ, an imitator of my Father, than try to be a hero in this world. Life is too short. The choice is yours. And last one, kids are not that complicated. They don't overcomplicate things. We can get a bit technical about stuff. Yes, we can. But we can learn this from kids. I believe they're not too overcomplicated about stuff. Sandra just said earlier that they forgive easily. They don't carry grudges for 30, 40 years that makes them sick. No, no. They hit back, they say sorry, they might get a talking to or a spanking, and then they go on with life. Don't overcomplicate things. Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you will put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Don't complicate stuff. Just be led by the Spirit. Johann said it. Just be led by the Good Shepherd. Choose to be led. 2 Corinthians 3:17. It's not on there. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Some people might look at it and hear, you know, this Spirit leads you, this Spirit and this book, this word is going to guide you. It sounds for them like shackles. Yet for us, it's a key to true freedom. It's a place of contentment, to a place of wholeness and freedom in the Lord. Will you stand with me, please? And let's quickly pray together. Lord, I repent of looking to my watch much more than any child would. But I do have love and respect for everybody here today. But yeah, thank you, Lord, just for freedom. Thank you, God, for what you've taught me. And I pray, Lord, for so much more surrender in my own life. I cannot teach, I cannot testify or preach about this if I can't ask for, by the grace of God, that you'll take me to the fullness of a childlike heart in my own life. So I just declare firstly, have your way. Have me, have my family, have your way. In Jesus' name. God, we just ask that your Spirit will just minister now into hearts when necessary. If you need prayer, you're just going to lift up your hand just for an indication. But if your vision, your vision or your picture of a child is really obscured and it's been hurt so much, and if I say child, it's like saying mass murderer or brokenness. It's just not in a nice place. If you just want us just to pray over your own childhood and just God to restore that childhood picture, just raise your hand and we're going to trust that the Holy Spirit does that. As Johann said, it doesn't happen in an instant all, but we acknowledge and God works it out in the season. You want us to pray for that, just raise your hand. And then the second, and even more important, if you have a moment like Bianca had this week, Matthew 18:3 says, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. If you just have a conviction through the Spirit, not of the mere fact that I'm saying it, but if you've just been convicted in your heart that maybe you should have a moment of turn again. I just want to invite you just to raise your hand, just to say, Lord, I want to turn. I just want to not be too much adult. If that's you, just raise your hand, please. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. God, I just thank you for these childlike hands and hearts, and I include myself. I pray, Lord, that we'll daily just turn to that place of absolute freedom of being a child in your house and being a child in your kingdom, God. And that our definition of greatness will be reestablished, even taken away and broken if needed, and given to us afresh through your Spirit and Word. Thank you, God.